Well, 100 years ago, as we celebrated earlier this year, a small group of faithful Anglicans laid a foundation stone out the back of the church here for what they hoped would be a mighty church on the Eastern Shore. And some of the writing that you can read, you read of the hopes that this would be the cathedral for the other side of the river. Of course, one of the problems with trying to build a cathedral even 100 years ago is funds. They didn't have enough, but they had enough to get going, and they raised some. We heard of some of the ways they did that when we celebrated the anniversary back in April. They wanted to build a place that would house God's people in Lindisfarne for many years to come. And of course, we know that part of their story is they got the church sort of halfway there. They built it up to this giant arch that's right in front of me here, and then they whacked up a nice-looking lean-to, which you can have a look at when you go out to morning tea in the photo out there, and that was it. That was all that they were able to build, and that's how this church stood for some 50 years, as people would come in, hear God's word, encounter the Lord, have lives changed, and then go out into what was then a much smaller Lindisfarne community. Well, 85 years later, or thereabouts, after that foundation stone was laid, another threat loomed large. If the threat then was having funds to house everyone, the threat some 85 years later was having people to put in the building that they'd since built. And so, a little while ago now, the people in the parish took a ridiculously crazy risk. They got this youth pastor from across the river to come over with his wife and baby, who looks a lot bigger on that picture and even bigger in real life when you see her, who'd never led a church before, who didn't know much about what he was doing, and who I would give some very good advice to if I met him today. And they asked him to help them seek to figure out how to re-engage with our local community, how to engage those who are younger. And together, we've sought to do that. God's people in this place have been willing to take a risk together and to seek God afresh. And some 100 years since the foundation stone was laid, we have a bright future under God together. And that's no guarantee, is it? Our friends just up the road in the Uniting Church just sold their building that their forefathers built because their church did empty. But for us, we've been faithful and God has been kind and faithful to us. And if we think not about 100 years but just about 1 year, what a remarkable year it has been. It's been a bit of a transition year, really, as Andrea and Emma have finished their time on staff, and we weren't quite sure what that meant or what it would look like, but God graciously brought us Jono and his family. We've seen God working powerfully in our growing connections with our global mission partners, sending a team over to be blessed by them and to receive blessing to them. We've obviously celebrated God's faithfulness through the centenary celebrations. We've upgraded the church so it's even more welcoming with the light so you can see my face and the people, other people up here, and the sound is a bit better and clearer throughout the whole building. God has been faithful as his people have stepped out in faith this year and every year for over 100 years in this place, and actually for thousands of years through all time. Deuteronomy 7:9 we read, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." God's call, as it was then, is, and as it is now, is to continue to trust him, to rely on him, to lean into him, and to seek to be faithful to him and his call on us, on our church, to be a church for Lindisfarne making disciples of Jesus, blessing our community and helping them to find Jesus and take their next step with him. And that's our vision and mission statement. We want to be that kind of church. The question is, how, isn't it? How do we do that? How do we be a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus, helping the people we encounter and who engage with us to take their next step with Jesus, whether that be a step of faith for the first time or a step of just coming a little bit closer or a step of maturing if they've been following Jesus for a long time. Of course, it's nice to have words on a page and a banner, but we actually have to have a plan, don't we, if we're going to achieve the things we believe God is calling us to. And so we've tried over the years to focus our attention, not to the exclusion of all other things, but just when we're trying to make big and strategic decisions, on what we call a mission focus group, a group that we're trying to particularly reach as we engage in the work of mission. Families with kids aged, it was originally under 5, but we've expanded that now to 0 to 12. That's where we're trying to focus our attention, not to the exclusion of all others, but it's something that drives the decisions we try to make together as a church and as a parish council. But again, how do we do it? It's one thing to know who we're trying to reach. It's one thing to have a vision statement. What's the process and the plan for getting there? Well, that's where I want to talk a little bit more about our strategy today. Of course, we believe that everything that we do as a church has to be shaped and has to be covered in prayer. And you've probably, if you've been around a while, heard me talk about pathways from time to time. And it's a stepped process with lots and lots of different words in it. Think words like in touch and belonging and following Jesus and serving in ministry. There's a whole bunch of steps in it. And that's still the process that's broadly in my mind. But I think as I've reflected and been praying in the last little while about this, I think it's been a little bit hard to keep in our heads. So it means sometimes we get a little bit sidetracked. So I've tried to condense and simplify and encapsulate the things that we're trying to do as a church into these 5 S's that you can see on the screen there. Shine, share, strengthen, serve, and send. And if I was Jono, I'd say, I've got a chocolate frog for anyone who can remember the 5 S's. Maybe next week I'll get a bag if you can tell me what they are. But I think this is a memorable way for us to think of, okay, we want to be a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus. We want to help people take our next step. How do we do that? Shine, share, strengthen, serve, and send. So I want to just walk us through some of these and what I'm talking about and what I think God's calling us to. Shine. In Matthew 5:16, we read, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is about helping people see us, helping people engage with us for the first time, reaching out into our community, helping them to see the love God has for them as we demonstrate it through different programs and events, activities. Our centenary celebrations are a great example of shining, weren't they? Many people came into this place and they experienced and heard of God's love for them. Our playgroup is another great example of this. It's a place where people can come, they can feel belonging, and they see the church in action, even if they don't know that's what they're seeing. As they get to know us, they get to understand us, they figure out why it is that we run this thing. It's a place where young families see and hear of God's love for them and hopefully start to feel like they belong a little bit in this community. The Little Shop, another great example of a place where people can connect with us externally and hopefully see and experience something of the love God has for them. And there's other stuff we do too. Websites, social media, signs on the street, flyers that we hand out and print out, advertising that we put in papers. All of this is shining God's love, getting the word out so that people might want to find out more, so that God can use what they see to make them take a step towards us, a step towards connection. There's no good us knowing that God loves us and keeping it to ourselves, is there? We need to be showing it. We need to be shining. We need to let our light shine, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. We need to make sure that we're being deliberate when we work in the little shop, or when we come along to playgroup and serve there, or when we take flyers around or share a social media post from the church, that we're seeking to do so that people might see God's love through our words and actions. Let's shine brightly. And then let's share. We want to take the next step after showing people God's love, shining it out there in the community. We want to share that love with them. We want to tell them the gospel. It's no good if we just run a whole bunch of events and activities and never invite people into a space where they can ask their questions and learn more about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. The gospel has to be shared. And we did this a little bit during our centenary celebrations, sharing it with the people as they came in, and we ran an alpha course, though it didn't get as much buy-in as we would have hoped, but nonetheless the intention was there to share the gospel with those who were more intrigued. Jono's doing a great job at the moment in the local school, running a club called The Vine, where he's going into the Australian Christian College and sharing God's love with the students there and teaching them a little bit more about who God is and what it means to follow him. We need to keep thinking about not only how we're shining God's love so that people can see, but actually how we're going to share it so people can understand who Jesus is. And of course, we do that because of Jesus' words in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, then there's the next step, isn't there? We've shown them God's love, we've shined brightly, we've shared the gospel with them, then we need to strengthen people, we need to help them to grow as disciples. And it's been wonderful as I reflect on the last 9 years as your rector about how God has grown and shaped us and strengthened us to be more like Jesus. It's been great to see people forming prayer triplets, people joining Bible studies, people praying for the first time out loud in groups, people starting Bible studies, sporadic other different groups that we've had come and go over the years, people being committed to coming to worship God in regular times of worship like our service we're in right now, our kids ministry, which is a great way of strengthening our kids and helping them to grow in the faith. And as I've been thinking about this, I think, you know, God is really keen that part of what we do as we strengthen people in the faith is that we pass it on to the next generation. God's very keen in making sure we don't just keep our faith to ourselves, we don't just share it with others, but we're deliberate in building up the next generation too. Let me read you from Psalm 78. And Mark, I might get you to tap along as I read this one. My people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell them to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded to our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. They would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. We've got to be strengthening our own faith and helping our church to strengthen the faith of others, and in particular, the next generation. So I hope you'll be thinking about how you're growing as a disciple, but also how you're helping others to grow. Perhaps you can join a Bible study, get into a prayer triplet, help out in our kids' ministry, such a vital part of what God calls us to do. we need to be strengthening one another in the faith. And we've got to serve. We've got to use our gifts to help others. In Ephesians 4, we read, Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God's vision of the church is people coming together and using their gifts to serve others and to help each of us to grow into his fullness. We need leaders to do that. We need teams of people to do that, to work together so that we can be all that the church is calling us to be. One of the dangers for us is that we rely on the same small group of people to do all of the ministry. And that's going to have an impact, isn't it, on our ability to do the things God is calling us to do. We can't rely on the same people to do everything. We have to seek to learn from those who are doing stuff, watch them, help them, learn from them. And those of us who are doing things, we need to be seeking out others to help, to train and show them what we do and why we do it, to help others to grow into the fullness of Christ. The truth is, every single person sitting here today and those who aren't here have a gift from God. A gift that can be used by God to serve and grow the church. And you might think, I don't think I've got a gift. Well, that's not how I understand the Bible, for a start. It says everyone's been given the Holy Spirit who trusts in the Lord Jesus, and the Spirit produces in everyone fruits and gifts. So you do. There's just no question about it. You may not know what it is. That's fair enough. So let's work together. If you think I've got nothing to offer, come and talk to me, and we'll figure out what it is that God has gifted you in together. And sometimes that looks like trying stuff and seeing how it fits and understanding what it might be that God's calling you to do. Of course, all of us can serve in another way too, which is through the generosity and stewardship of the finances God gives us. And Paul talks about this in the reading that David read to us today. But before that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, I'm not commanding you, this is talking about giving, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnest of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. God calls us to be generous stewards of the gifts he's given us financially, not because we have to, but because we want to respond and be like Jesus, who became poor so that we might become rich. And so Paul goes on and encourages the church in Corinth to be generous. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love this verse because it doesn't say give 10% or else. It says think about the gifts God's given you and think about how you can use them and steward them to bless others and to do so in a way that brings joy. God loves a cheerful giver. Don't give because you must or because you think it's the right thing to do. Give because you want to. Give because you want to see God reap a harvest in this place. Give because you want to see lives transformed in this place. Give because you want to see the next generation grow in the faith. And he goes on to say in verse 11, you'll be enriched when you do give like that. Generously and joyfully, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This isn't Paul's investment strategy. He doesn't say give and you'll get rich. Rather, he says give, invest, and you'll get spiritual wealth. when we give and we see what God is doing, you can't help to give thanks to God for it. And I want to say that that's been the fruit of your gifts, at least for me in my life. Thinking about the way that God has been shaping the young people in this church, shaping each of us, building our foundation of Christ, thinking about the mums who come to playgroup who have no connection to the church but are engaging with us through that ministry, thinking of the community members who've seen our website or come along, who watch us on the internet and have begun to take small steps towards Jesus. All of this results, in my life at least, in great thanksgiving to God for what he's doing in this place. All of those things, the fruit of our generosity, that overflow in thanksgiving. Now, if you've read my rector's report, here's a test for you. You can read it quickly before the annual meeting. You'll remember that I mentioned that back in 2019, somebody gave a one-off gift of $24,000 to grow our ministry. That gift, let me tell you, the day that our treasurer at the time, Chris, rang me up to tell me that, that resulted in much thanksgiving. And it continues to do so, because you know what we did with that money? We decided we'd use it to employ a one-day-a-week children's ministry intern to try and see if we could start a kids' church. And so that's what we did. We stepped out in faith, and by God's grace, we didn't need that money because the generosity of God's people, as they saw what we were doing, overflowed. And that gift's still sitting there today in what we call our ministry growth fund. You'll see it in the papers, I know you all read the financial papers and you saw the line that said Ministry Growth Fund on the financial papers. It's sitting there, you'll see it, about $31,000. And so the parish council has decided we're going to use that money again, for a second time almost, to seed Jono's role and to cover the forecast deficit. Now, maybe you can't give more regularly. Maybe you are giving all you can. That's fine, because remember, God loves a cheerful and generous giver. I don't know your situation, but I do know that with God, anything is possible. And I hope that if you can't give, you'll at least start praying that God would raise up more people to give to the work we're doing here, so that we might be able to use that money again for a third time. Another gift of $24,000, and we'd have a balanced budget this year. With God, anything is impossible. We need to be shining out there in the community, sharing the gospel with people as they come and learn more about Jesus, strengthening each other in the faith, serving each other with gifts. Finally, the last S, sending people out into mission. We want to be supporting those who've already gone, like Morris and Amanda and Abraham and his team in Cambodia. But also, wouldn't it be great? I mean, having Morris and Amanda is wonderful, and when they come back, it's great to know them, and it's been wonderful to journey with them on their ministry. But wouldn't it be great to have mission partners that we put up on our screens who we really knew because they used to sit in here? In Acts 13, we read these words: "While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." I can guarantee you that Saul and Barnabas were a key part of the working life of that church. And yet, as they worshipped God and they saw the need, they set them apart and sent them off to go on those missionary journeys. God calls us not just to shine brightly and share the gospel with people and strengthen each other and then serve each other gifts and keep it all in here and keep on doing the things. He calls us to be a generous church in sending our best and brightest to wherever God needs them. And let me tell you that when I was a younger teenager, young adult, I think about some of the people who I was going to church with and Bible study with in those days. And there are a surprisingly large number who now, 20, 25 years later, have important roles in our diocese and have been on the mission field. It's a remarkable testimony to the ministry that was happening in that place at that time. So who is it that's out there today or in here that maybe in 20 to 25 years will be spread around Tasmania or somewhere else in the world serving the church because of what we've done, being faithful to God, being generous with the gifts he's given us, both financial and otherwise? God is a remarkable God, a faithful God, a God who can do, as we read in Ephesians, immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Well, we are a church for Lindisfarne, making disciples of Jesus, and we try and do that with those five S's. Shining, sharing, strengthening, serving, and sending. And we've got work to do in every area, of course, as we always will. But as we focus our efforts, especially on children and young people, and as we seek to reach their friends and, by association, their parents, I think it's pretty exciting to think about what God could be up to in this place and what God could do. And let me just kind of reflect for, and I'm nearly done, I promise you, a couple of seconds. But if you think about what God has done over the past 8 years or 8 or 9 years in this place, we've grown the number of our kids from 1 to 25, which is 2,000% increase. So if we did that again in the next 8 years, we'd have 500 kids in church. Or our giving. 8 or 9 years ago, our giving was about $65,000. We've grown it by 150% in that time to about $165,000. If we did that again over the next 8 years, we'd have $500,000 in giving, in live income that we could be using to serve. Hang on, what is it? Shine, share, strengthen, serve, and send. And to be realistic, God could do it, but I'm not sure we're going to get a 2,000% growth again and a 50% growth again. But what if we got a quarter of that, or half a quarter of that, an eighth? That'd still be remarkable, wouldn't it? It'd still be transformative, and it would mean lives are being changed. So as we think about the church God is calling us to be, as we think about the way we're trying to be that church, I want to encourage you to reflect on where we've been, as I've been doing, as I've been preparing this, and to give some of your input too. You'll get an email this week. But you can scan the QR code now if you'd like. I've put together a little survey just to find out a little bit about you, why you come here, what you love about the church, what you think we could do better as a church, and what your hopes and dreams for our future are together. Because I think it's really important that as we plan for what we, how we do all of this in the coming sort of 3 to 5 years, that we all take ownership of it together. Let me finish with the challenge that I had in my report. I want to encourage each of you to commit, to growing as a Christian, to strengthening your faith and thinking about how you can serve. I want to encourage you to use your gifts, both the physical gifts you have, the spiritual gifts you have that manifest themselves in physical ways, but also the financial gifts you have. And I want to encourage you to pray for our church, and in particular to pray for our children's and hopefully future youth ministry, that it will engage many young people with the good news about Jesus. And let's trust God together that he can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Amen.